What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, salutations. How we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay. How we doing?
Doing fantastic. Keyser, how we doing? How's life?
Hey, doing well. Got some energy this morning. Well rested. Ready to go.
That's good. Got a lot to get into on the program today. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us later this hour at 6:45. We're going to have a large Nashville Predators discussion today on Andrew Burnett, where this thing is headed. And just the standpoint of closing out this season and the decisions that are coming up for Barry Trotz, for Andrew Burnett, for everybody. So a lot of people have weighed in on this when I threw it out on Twitter yesterday, and looking forward to everybody's participation throughout the show as well. We'll take your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025. We will get into some NFL Combine stuff and NFL free agency stuff later in the show. As well, we'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Show at 7:45, so a lot to get into on the program here today. So, Joe, let's just get started. The Predators are in action tonight, taking on the Florida Panthers. They're in a run right now, and we talked about it coming out of the break, where their schedule is just ridiculous in terms of the quality of teams that they're playing right out of this break, and it's the reigning cup champs tonight. They got Winnipeg, who apparently doesn't lose anymore, coming up on Thursday. So there's been a lot of losing that's taken place. They've got some tough games coming up. They are 30th in the league right now, 4 points back of the Buffalo Sabres, and they're 6 points ahead of Chicago right now. So they're kind of squarely stuck at 30th at the moment, and they've been in that spot or near that spot for a large portion of this season. So naturally, Joe, it leads to what's going to happen here. What are the decisions you can make in the offseason to change this thing around? We've talked about Andrew Burnett specifically a lot this year, particularly back towards the beginning of the year in November, you know, into December, where it was clear that the season was going off the rails and a lot of fans were screaming for Andrew Burnett to be fired and for the Predators to move on from him as head coach and to make a different decision. Barry Trotz, it felt like, Joe, was asked about Andrew Burnett's job status with Stillman like every week for a long stretch of time with his weekly interviews. You know, eventually that stopped. Trotz made the decision to stick with Andrew Burnett for the season. He said a few weeks ago that Andrew Burnett's not going to get fired at any point in the season. So with that kind of in the backdrop here, the question then becomes, what happens at the end of the year in a season that we all know is about to be lost? They're 56 games into it. They're going nowhere in terms of the playoffs. They're not going to approach the playoffs this year. So what happens at the end of all of this thing when you're evaluating where things went wrong, how things went wrong, and probably most importantly, Joe, how you fix it moving forward? So as we sit here today, how do you view Andrew Burnett, his job status at the end of this season, and where you think things might be headed here when this thing comes to an end for the regular season?
I look at it sort of like a 50-50 thing. I mean, I can see I could see it going either way. You know, like you said earlier in the year, if you're going to do something like that, the idea is, well, I mean, first of all, that's who you blame. You have to have a pretty fair amount of blame for the coach. And then you're doing it to try to, you know, turn things around. And we have seen this happen. I mean, we're watching the Detroit Red Wings fight for a playoff spot when they were definitely not in that position before they fired their coach this year. I mean, that, you know, that happens in the league. But once you get past a certain point, as you said, you know, you're gonna probably see it to the end. Now it comes down to, I mean, I think you can make a strong case to move on. But also, I mean, Barry Trotz has expressed belief in Andrew Burnett. It's been just 2 years. One of them was good. I still think, you know, I think that a lot of his career to date is I think he's a promising young coach. Is he the right coach for this group? I think is one of the big questions. You know, it's like when he was hired, the idea was young coach growing with young team. And then the GM made it young coach with very old, accomplished team. So does he not fit with this group anymore?
Yeah, I think that's a huge question. You know, it's been interesting the way the roster has shaken out here. And look, I think today, in terms of this discussion, that's open too. Like getting into the roster and where things have gone here with how this team has been constructed, and what that most importantly means moving ahead here. Like, is this a situation where no matter who the coach is, this has just become an older team that their best days of hockey are behind them, and we're seeing a team that is collectively on the downturn. Now, look, I understand, you know, you could throw that idea out there. I understand if you're a Predators fan listening to this and you're looking around and saying, so wait a minute. You expect me to believe that Jonathan Marchessault, Stamkos, Brady Shea, your big three that you got this offseason, are all falling off at the same time. And you combine that with, like, Yossi having a bad year. I mean, the goalie's a little bit different, but we've talked about him. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think it really matters who your coach is with a goalie. Like, your job is to stop the puck. So there is that. But you've got Yossi having a bad year. You got Forsberg, who is definitely not having a bad year, but, you know, he approached 50 goals last year. He's not going to approach that this year. You have Nyquist, who, quite frankly, I think the drop in production from him this year was predictable heading into it. It has superseded what I thought it would be. Like, it's been, as I think Willie put it well yesterday, everything that went well for him last year has gone equally as poorly for him this year. Like, it's been amazing, the turnaround in production for Gus Nyquist. So I understand if you're a Predators fan, you're saying, wait a minute. So are we supposed to believe that every single one of these guys have just completely fallen off the table at the same time? Or do you look at the coach and you say, why is this not working better? And is he to blame for all these guys falling off at the same time? I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think there's some of both that you have to point to here from a roster construction standpoint and a coaching standpoint. But here's where I fall on the Andrew Burnett stuff, and we're going to get to this throughout the hour. You know, back in November when we had this discussion, Joe, and fans were screaming about Andrew Burnett, and they were screaming about how the Predators should move on from him and try to save the season, my thought was, you know, he's demonstrated to be a pretty good coach. I understand he took over an incredibly talented roster in Florida when he was the interim, but he did help navigate that team through a very tumultuous situation to the President's Trophy that year and got to the second round of the playoffs. Last year started off pretty rocky for the Predators, and he navigated that team through it, and they eventually got to the point where they played great in the second half of the year, had a decent showing in the playoffs, and you felt good about where things were headed. You know, in November, you're talking about a month and a half of bad hockey that I didn't think had the chance to outweigh the good that we had saw, or that we had seen with Andrew Burnett. My thought on it now, Joe, is, like, at some point along the way here, he needs to have proven that he can fix this mess And I don't think he's done that this year. Now, I'm not saying that he totally can't, but this is basically 56 games at this point of the same stuff. Like, they can't score. They haven't been able to score all year, with the exception of about a three-week span from early January to late January. They have not been able to defend well all year. And this is, I mean, we talked about it when we were talking about UC Saros. This is how you end up 30th in the league, when you're doing a lot of things really poorly. The power play has not been as effective as it should be with the names that they've got on paper. And I think at some point, if you're going to save your job, like, you've got to prove that you've got an idea to fix this heading into next year. And I don't know that he's done that to this point.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. Now, I think that if it's comes down to, like, this just is what it is from a roster perspective, you know, like, it's not essentially not fixable, then first of all, what you said, that means that just a bunch of people have just fallen off at the same time. It's terrible luck, but also it's more about the roster construction than it is about the coaching. But I'm with you. Obviously they've had these tiny little brief glimpses of life, but obviously not nearly enough. Another thing to point out on his behalf is that great season that Nyquist had was with him in his system. Forsberg that he had was with him in his system. So some of these guys have played very high level hockey, even relative to their careers, under Andrew Brunette. It just, none of it this year. It has happened, though.
Yeah, like, you're right. Like, a lot of it, when we were having this conversation last year about the trajectory of this team when the season ended, I think you felt great about where things were going, right? Like, the team overachieved. Forsberg put up, you know, darn near 50 goals. Josi had a great second half of the year last year. Like, there's a lot to feel really good about. And it's been a disaster from the opening puck drop this year. Like, that's what it's been. Like, from the time they began the season until now, it's been one long nightmare for the Predators this year. And I said it yesterday, like, it is, you can feel it when you walk in there now. Like, it has taken a huge toll on these guys, the way that this thing has gone. I think it's taken a huge toll on Andrew Brunette, the way that this thing has gone. And they just all... We've reached the point, Joe, and I think, you know, you can make the argument you've been to this point for a while, but, like, it just kind of feels like nobody has an answer. Like, there's no real answer as to why or how they've gotten to this point. And look, sometimes sports are weird, right? Sometimes you just have weird, bad seasons, and for whatever reason, they're unexplainable, and you come back the next year and you play well. That does happen in sports. Quite frankly, that happens in this sport kind of frequently. Like, it's a thing that does happen. But I think with the age of the roster and the fact that we're sitting here today 56 games in, and it just feels like it's been the same team all year long, it's a huge, huge red flag. And I'm interested to see how Predators fans are going to view that today. So we've set the table for the Andrew Brunette conversation. I'll throw it open to the roster as well. How much of this is on Brunette? How much of this is on the roster? And probably most importantly, what's the plan of action if you're the Predators moving forward? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We welcome your phone calls throughout the day as well. We'll get to all things Nashville Predators for the first hour of the show. Alex Doherty will be with us later in the program. We'll get into some NFL Combine, NFL free agency talk later in the program in the 7 o'clock hour. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in later today to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host Tennessee Tech. Pregame beginning at 4:15. First pitch is at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Look, we all know that this season is lost for the Predators. They're not going to the playoffs. There's going to be some level of a sell-off that begins here shortly before the NHL trading deadline, and we'll see exactly how active the Predators are. And then you get into a bunch of decisions that are going to have to be made, both the rest of this year and into the offseason, of how do you fix this moving forward? How do you get back to a place next season where you're competitive, you're back in the playoffs, and you're a team that you felt like maybe you were heading into the season? That's a tough question to answer right now based on the way this season has gone. What is it going to mean for Andrew Brunette? I think that's probably short-term, Joe, the most immediate decision that the Predators are going to have to make. There's going to be a point, you know, when we get pretty shortly into the offseason, that Barry Trotz is going to have to make a decision on his coach moving forward. And here's kind of where I come down in as we sit here today, Joe. Like I said last segment, some point along the way here, I think you have to demonstrate that you have what it takes to fix this. And to this point, I don't think that he has. My opinion on Andrew Brunette really hasn't changed all that much from what we discussed in November. Like, I think Andrew Brunette's a bright guy. I think he's a good coach. I think he's going to be a good coach in the National Hockey League. Having said that, Joe, like, I'm also well aware that good coaches in the National Hockey League get fired all the time. Like, they get fired all the time in the NHL. And this is, as we've discussed, the league that is the quickest of all of them to fire the coach. It happens all the time in this league. And I look at where they're at right now. Yeah, they've got some cap space that they've been able to kind of weasel together here and create. Yeah, they've got some options potentially with some of the assets they have in first-round picks to tinker with the roster and maybe make a trade or two this offseason. And maybe you can change the setup, the structure of the team enough to where it's different heading into next year. But I don't think there's a lot you can do. Like Stamkos is going to be back. Marchessault is going to be back. And, you know, unless you do something dramatic, like Forsberg and Yossi are going to be back. Brady Shea is going to be back. So a lot of your big money guys are going to be here, and you got to find a way to make it work. And I don't think you can get rid of all of them. May not be able to get rid of any of them. And usually the coach is the one to pay the price when that happens, Joe. So, like, if the season ended today, my expectation would probably be that Andrew Brunette will not be the coach next year. That's just kind of where I fall on it today. I know how this league works. It's been a rough year. And I feel like if that's how things – if it continues to go this way and there's not substantial progress – and really, at this point, Joe, you could argue when you're getting close to game 60 of the season – what would now define substantial progress moving forward? I think he's in a really tough spot to be back as head coach next year.
Yeah, I think I guess the answer would just be winning, but I would wonder, like, what can he do the rest of the way? Play well, have the team play well, which then everyone will be mad because they're going to mess up their pick.
Well,
you know,
that.
But I mean, all you can do is coach the team right now and try to keep them zoomed in on the details and blocking shots and doing the little things that you have to do to try to win games. You know, I mean, obviously Barry Trotz has a coach's eye. Been Barry Trotz coach long enough in this league that he's been a part of every kind of season as a coach. So, you know, he knows what he's looking at. I think two things are key here. One, you know, when Barry Trotz moved on from John Hines, you know, Hines kind of twisted in the wind for a while there. But, you know, as some of the talk, okay, so what if he does move on from John Hines, you know, what's the move? I mean, is there someone in mind? Is there a system in mind?
Right.
I know some people have thrown out Joel Quenneville. I'd have a problem with that, given what happened with the Kyle Beattie situation, but that's a mentor and basically the same system. You'd have system consistency. Maybe you don't want that, though, right? One, do you have someone in mind? And two, I think I take really seriously, like, what the players think,
yep,
especially the veterans. You know, are the veterans, when you have exit interviews, are they fighting for this guy, speaking on his behalf? Or are they, I mean, no one's, I'm sure you're not going to get a lot of, like, please fire this guy. But, you know, there's a difference between, no, I really believe in Andrew Brunette and, you know, and what we're doing, and ABC happened and it's not his fault, or sort of, you know, shrug your shoulders.
Yeah.
And, you know, that like, are people impassioned in fighting on his behalf when it comes to the veterans and stars on this team. I mean, I think that's their feedback is important.
Well, I think their feedback is important, but I also think like one of the ways that you show that you're impassioned in defense of your coach is to help him fix it on the ice, and they just can't do it. Like they've not been able to do it, and it really hasn't mattered, Joe, like the circumstance. Like they've gone through some different stretches this year where they've played better than others. You wondered maybe with this Four Nations break, if they came back, like could the break, the reset, do them some good? Not from the standpoint of making the playoffs, because they dug themselves such a hole before this Four Nations break that it was going to be darn near impossible. But like, could you come back and play better? And look, I know they beat Colorado 2-1 on Saturday. I mean, they got doubled up in shots in that game. Kind of felt like they were holding on for dear life at the end of the game. And then you could beat 5-0 the other night against New Jersey. And, you know, we'll see what they do tonight. But it just, this feels like the exact same team that I'm watching now that we were watching in October. And that's not good. Like, for Brunette, I think you'd love to be able to point to an area right now where it's like, all right, we feel like that has gotten a lot better, right? Well, the defense, and I know they've shaken some things around, right? Like they've had some injuries. I think they've used 13 different defensemen this year. It's been a rough year on defense. Right now, they are a bad defensive team. I mean, they gave up like 5 breakaways the other night. They're a bad defensive hockey team right now. Offensively, they've been a bad team all year. I mean, they've been shut out 8 times. They have, you know, a loaded roster on paper in terms of accomplished goal scorers. They can't score. The young guys, right, that, you know, it's like, okay, well, maybe the veterans are having a tough year. You worry about your roster getting old, but at least you've got some younger guys developing. Well, it's like, well, LaRue's hurt, and he's been fine. Luke Evangelista has battled through injuries this year, but he's not done hardly anything this year. Like, there's not a lot to point to with the young guys right now either. Like, Novak's not really a young guy, but he's had an awful year based on what the expectations for him heading into the year. There's almost nothing, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic when I say that, Joe. There's almost nothing right now to point to looking at this team where you just say, yeah, I feel great about that right now.
Right, and then it gets into kind of like some of the discussions we've had about with the Titans, with, you know, the Vrabel and J-Rob, who did, you know. I mean, for example, so Novak, I mean, you know, you were like, man, really? When they extended him, right?
Yes.
So is that Brunette more like pushing for him, or is that Trotz misreading him? I mean, it's probably a combination, but
right. It's
stuff like that have led to this team where you start getting into coach and GM.
Yeah. Like, look, I certainly in this discussion do not want to absolve Barry Trotz of blame here. Now, having said that, I'm not going to sit here today and act like I didn't think he did a great job this offseason, because I did, right? Like, when he signed Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea all in one day, I was just as excited as anybody else, right? Like, I was like, wow. Look at him. He's gone out. They've been aggressive in free agency. He has given this team some goal-scoring help, and he did so without giving up any future assets. So, like, I'm not going to sit here today on February 25th and act like that was, like, some horrendous decision that he made at the time, because I didn't think that. Like, I thought it was a great move. It has not worked out to this point. Now, then the question has to become, that's when you get back into coaching. Like, how much of that is on the coaching, and how much of that is on these guys – in Marchessault, Stamkos, and Shea specifically, are just like all falling off at the same time. Like I mentioned the stat on Stamkos yesterday. He hadn't had a point in 9 games. It's the longest of his career, and he hadn't had more than a 5-game streak without a point since like the second month of his career, which, by the way, is an unbelievable stat. Like it's crazy. And he's been around since, you know, what, 2008? Been around a long time. So it's just like, is he – we talked about at the time when they signed him, like, he's probably not Steven Stamkos that he was 2 years ago. He may not give you 40 goals again, but could he give you 30? Could he give you 35? Like you'd live with that. You'd love that if you're the Predators. And I don't think he's going to approach that. Like there's just everything. It feels like everything right now with this team that could have broke poorly for them this year has done so. And sometimes it's what it is, right? Like it's just a tough break of year and things go wrong. But you gotta attempt to find a root cause of that if you can.
Yeah. And listen, you're right. Everybody went gaga over the big signings. But Novak, there's one that
yes,
was not the case. And Soros.
Correct.
This program was against that signing, and right now that doesn't look great. But the first matter of business is definitely the coach at this point.
615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you, Predators fans. We got a lot of your thoughts on the text line. Keep them coming. Give us a call, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Andrew Brunette and the future of the Predators moving forward. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Frank to the program. Frank, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say I would love to hear the way Andrew Brunette talks to the locker room. If it's anything like the way he talks to the media, I have no hope for the rest of the season or next season if he's a coach. If he gets up there after every game, win or lose, and says, yeah, you know, we played a great game, you know, I think it's puck just didn't bounce our way. Like, you lost 5-0. You didn't play a great game. And then he says he just has no idea what's going on. Like, that's your job. You are the only guy who is supposed to know what's going on and how to fix it. And it just drives me crazy. And I personally think he should have been fired way earlier, because clearly his message has gone stale. Clearly it's not working. I mean, I'm just hopeless. Honestly.
Thanks for the call, Frank. Appreciate it. Look, the one thing I say about Andrew Brunette, I think he's pretty honest when he gets up there. Like, he does not get up there after every game and is like, yeah, you know, we played great. He usually is pretty quick to point out how upset he is about something after game. Now, he did say the other night, after they lost 5-0, that he liked a lot of things that they did offensively, which did not go over well with Pred's Twitter. I understand what he was saying.
Big Joe lost it on that one.
Yeah, like I understand. They got beat 5-0. So you're never going to win over the fan base when you talk about that after the game. I get that. You know, his point was they had the puck a lot, which they did, and they had a lot of offensive looks, which they did. But I understand. Nobody cares about that when you get beat 5-0. So I get that. The message going stale thing, I think, is probably one of the most overrated things in the National Hockey League. Like, how often does that really happen? It does happen. Like, we talk about that with Peter Laviolette. I don't know that I think that Andrew Brunette's message has gone stale. What I wonder, Joe, right now is, like, is his style, his coaching, his system, all those things, is it the right fit for this roster? It's hard to come away with it with the answer to that being yes, based on the way this season has gone. Now, I guess the question then becomes, all right, if you're Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette, as you're having your exit meetings this offseason, like, is there tinkering that you can do throughout the course of an offseason where you're changing up the way you operate, where he can still be the head coach next year and you're just doing things a little bit differently than maybe he's used to fit this roster? I don't know. Typically, when you start to get into those discussions, Joe, it's probably just better off to change the coach and bring somebody else in who does something differently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, look, like the caller there, it's not – I get it. When a team's losing, you don't want to hear any positive feedback. But I feel like Brunette just calls balls and strikes after games.
He's a pretty straight shooter, yeah.
There are games in hockey where you get shut out or you have a terrible offensive night and you had 12 primo looks. And there's games where – there have been games where they've scored goals where he – didn't like their game as much. You know, I mean, it's just – but you get to losing and people are going to focus on anything that, you know, that infuriates them. So you better not say anything positive. And I get it. After a 5-0 loss, you don't want to hear anything but fire and brimstone. But, yeah, I don't think that's an accurate reflection, but it's also what happens when you lose. You know, like we talk about all the time, whatever your personality traits are, you know, Vrabel, Mr. Tough, Gritty Guy – when they're winning, and then when they're losing, oh, Mr. Neanderthal with his 1983 football,
yep.
Or, you know, Clark Lee, super nice guy, you know, and they're losing. It's like, this guy is just, he just walking on the sideline clapping. And now it's like, look at this new age coach and they're winning. You know, I mean, it's how it goes. You win and your personal attributes are positive. You lose and they all of a sudden they're all flaws. But yeah, to your point, if you get to that, then I think it's over. You know, so much of this too is like, I just have to believe that Trotz has tried not to micromanage. I know he's talked about that, right? He's a coach. I think sometimes he probably misses coaching. He's a great, all-time great coach. He also has been a coach and knows what good general manager relationships are. So he's tried to like not micromanage, not be too much in the kitchen, right. But also that they have to be on the same page of all the stuff that Brunette's doing, right?
I mean, think so.
Yeah. So, you know, so I mean, like Trotz probably has a much more, I would think, like sympathetic view of a lot of things than the outside world, but even then probably a lot of GMs would, I would think, based on his history, which makes the decision even more interesting.
On the, you know, we're going to get a lot of, you know, as this goes on and we approach the end of the regular season, as we continue to have conversations of Andrew Brunette, I've already heard from people who have said this. We're going to hear from more people who say it, and I just can't get there. Like, they're going to say, go hire Carl Taylor. Like, Carl Taylor, coach of the Admirals. Do I think Carl Taylor has done a great job in Milwaukee? Yes. Do I think that Carl Taylor probably deserves at some point to be a head coach in the NHL? Yes. I don't think this roster, with the way it's constructed right now, with the amount of veterans you've got on this team, I don't think this roster needs a first-time head coach. I think if you're going to make a change this offseason, I think you need to go get somebody who's got some skins on the wall and has done it before. Like, that's what I would say. You know, who that is, I don't know. People are going to be screaming for Joel Quenneville. You talked about that earlier. There's going to be coaches at the end of this regular season that shake loose, and we see the recycling in this league all the time. You know, generally speaking, I'm not a huge, you know, the recycling can work. You know, I kind of like bringing some new blood in. I like that with Andrew Brunette when they hired him. You know, Spencer Carberry in Washington has done a great job. Like, there's some pretty recent examples of new head coaches coming in and doing well. But, like, I think with the veterans on this roster, you probably need somebody who's got some skins on the wall. That's just my initial take on it if it gets to that point.
No question. Yeah, I mean, I think – one thing this league does, it recycles coaches, and there are coaches with significant achievement behind their name that, you know, that you can get. But again, that's part of the thing to me is like, if this move is going to be made, I gotta think, and I would hope that it would be made in tandem with already your next move in mind,
right?
You know, rather than gotta just fire and then let's just see how it goes.
Right.
But I think for sure that you're right that, like, you have to have a coach who has done some significant winning in this league as your next coach if you're going to move on from him.
We'll be joined by Alex Doherty from the Tennessean coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Andrew Brunette situation, the status of these Nashville Predators for the rest of the season, and how to fix it moving forward. We'll get into some NFL free agency at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Alex Doherty, who covers the Nashville Predators for the Tennessean. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So we've had a large discussion on Andrew Brunette and the future of the Nashville Predators this morning. So, Alex, I'll start there. How do you view the decision coming up here for the Preds? We know this season is lost, and the playoffs are going to be way far in the rearview mirror by the time this thing is all said and done. And then the question is going to begin of how do you fix this moving forward? So where do you come down on that, and where do you come down on the future for Andrew Brunette and what that could look like after this season?
I don't know what you're talking about. Their playoff chances are about 0.2%. I think they got a chance. I think they need to go win about 20 games in a row, and they're right in there. They got them right where they want them is what's going to happen.
They're not 0.0.
They're not. So you're telling me there's a chance.
They are not eliminated. So here's how I think about this. We've been thinking a lot about this over the last, there was that time in December or whatever it was when there was really some thought that it was going to happen soon. And then Barry Trotz comes out and says, nope, he's my guy. He's my coach. We're good. And then at that point, it's like, well, I mean, there's no point in firing him now because, you just kind of play out the season. But I do think that there's a conversation to be had, as you guys have been having it. And, for me, I always think about this like kind of like the scales of justice, the two sides of the scale. And if a coach or a general manager or whoever it is has more facts in their favor, then they're safe. But and obviously the scales sort of get adjusted, for a first-year coach or maybe even a second-year coach. But I just think that the scales are really starting to tip against Brunette here, and I would have to point to a lot of things. I would think, just the general kind of sense of this season, that literally every single player is having a bad season. I mean, you can't point to a single player and think, oh, look, that player, he's having a career year. You could do that with John Hines. Remember the season before John Hines was fired, Matt Duchene and Phil Forbes, they had great seasons, and that was a big, thing in favor of John Hines. Well, look, he this was a bad season, but he did do some good things. I don't think you can say that about anything this season. I mean, every single player has been poor. And then, you had this off season of adding these offensive players that just not only didn't help, it seems to have hurt. I mean, they lost offense by adding some really good offensive players. You had questionable handling of Philip Tomasino and Donze Fabro, who are now off being successful in their new teams. You had the weird situation with Marchessault earlier. Although, I might give Brunette some credit there because I think right after that, Marchessault went on a nice little tear. So maybe that's in his favor. But, and honestly, maybe perhaps the most damning thing is the poor goaltending. I mean, I think that's a pretty common adage that, bad goaltending can get coaches fired. And I think the situation with Saros is maybe a little bit more insulated than just like, it's a coaching situation. That kind of thing, the badness, how poor Saros has been this year is just, it's too much to just say, oh, well, he had a bad year. Like, there has to be something else going on, right? That's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I just think that the scales are tipping against him now.
I will quickly point out that last year, Gus Nyquist did have his career year under Andrew Brunette. So it's almost in fact, it's funny that you brought up the Duchene thing because it's actually kind of the same thing, right? A year before this happened, all these good things happened the year before. So, does that count for him now? Everything you say makes sense there, Alex. Do you feel like these players, if these, and again, it's not going to be like this, like Trotz going to be like, okay, Roman, should I fire him or not? Of course, it's not going to be like that. But do you think that these players, if they were, if given truth serum, would speak on his behalf, against him, or neutral?
I think if you ask them honestly, I think most would probably say that this is not working. I don't know that it's like a personal thing. I think it's like a strategy, tactical side. Like, I think that there's probably some, and you got a little bit of this earlier in the season. Remember when Steven Stamkos, kind of walked the line and was like, I could say some things about this right now. There was a pretty strong vibe that he was talking about the coaching side of it, or at least that he was talking about kind of the general tactics that were going on with how they were trying to fix the offense. I think if you they're professional, they're not gonna say this, but I think that they would probably say, look, this offense is too complicated. This offense has too many moving parts that are not helping, and we need something different. We need a better setup, and players get the brunt of the blame for not scoring or for not doing specific things on the ice. But when you have this many all at once, kind of just like really struggling, the only solution seems to be coaching. And then there's like, you know, well, okay, who would be the alternate? You know, who would you bring in instead? I mean, that's another conversation, but I don't know that there's an obvious solution there either. I mean, like, this is almost like a situation where you just the players would need to come up with something on their own to see if it worked first, and then find the coach that worked for that. You know, that's not going to happen. I mean, like, Barry Trotz is not going to say, okay, the players, you come up with how you should make it work, and then we'll find a coach that can just be the rubber stamp at the top. Like, it's just kind of a mess. And then there's the, you know, Barry Trotz is not blameless here. I mean, like, he came in and made a lot of changes and then spent a ton of money and now has to think, okay, I mean, and then like pretty soon was like, well, that didn't work. Let's go to plan B. I mean, like 2 months into the season. and so that doesn't exactly work either. I mean, like you can't just have this weird sort of like, well, I've got kind of four plans rolling all at once. And when one doesn't work, then I can just shift to another. So it's just all kind of a mess. I do think that one thing that won't happen that I've heard people talk about is Barry Trotz coming down from the rafters and saying, you know what, I'm going to be the coach now. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's done there.
Well, okay, so to the point of the roster, like, you know, the coach is going to be the first thing everybody talks about, and we've talked about that a lot today here on the show. But I guess, you know, fundamentally beyond that, beyond the coach, how much of this is also like the roster, the age of the veteran core that they've got here at forward, and perhaps like those guys just not being a fit together? Like, one thing we talked about heading into the season was, yeah, they signed a bunch of these guys. The scoring should be a lot better. They still don't have any centers. Like, the idea that Tommy Novak is going to be a second line center heading into the year has always just been mystifying to me. So how much of this comes down to roster construction, regardless of who the coach is?
Yeah, I think you're definitely right there. I mean, they missed on. I think it's pretty clear that they wanted to get, or they, Barry Trotz wanted to get a center. I don't remember who he was talking to. It may have been on this station or somewhere else. But he was talking about how he had in mind to go get a certain kind of player and couldn't get him, and then had to go get someone else. But I think it's pretty clear he was going after someone like a Chandler Stephenson, a center, like a true center in the offseason, and then couldn't get him. I mean, what if that had happened? You know, what if they had gotten a true center to solidify the middle of the lineup? That is a big problem. I mean, like, they have had problems up the middle of the ice all season long, and then had to stick Steven Stamkos in the middle in order to just salvage something. So roster construction is a big problem. Yeah, I mean, and that's why I think Barry Trotz is not blameless here. I do think that, you know, based on my conversations with the team that I wrote about a little earlier this year, I think that they are just as happy with Barry Trotz now as they were when they first hired him to be the general manager. I don't think anything's changed there, especially because, like, he's been able to protect some things that they wanted to protect. The team has been terrible. He spent a lot of money that seems to be maybe a little bit reckless, but they like the fact that he's been able to hold all those draft picks. They like the fact that the team still has some top prospects that are up and coming. So I think, if, you know, in terms of the organization holds Barry Trotz in high esteem, even with the sort of questionable roster construction for this season.
Alex, you mentioned, I want to go back to what you mentioned about tactics. You know, if I'm Andrew Burnett hearing that, I'm like, oh, you don't like these tactics? Go watch those Blackhawks teams that won the cups with these tactics. Yeah. Tell me that these tactics don't work. But on that same point, if that's truly an issue, and that's truly something that just, it doesn't fit with these guys, it needs to be changed, then we have to get rid of the Joel Quenneville talk, right? I mean, I don't think it should be a thing anyway. But is that not the case? I mean, if tactics is truly a big part of this thing,
exactly. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to get the guy who taught him how to do this. Now, I will say, Burnett, he's not a clone of, in terms of the obviously I'm talking about the hockey side of this, not the off-ice stuff, but he's not a clone of Joel Quenneville. He blends a lot of different things. When I talked to him about it, he credited New Jersey Devils coach for many years. Oh my gosh.
Well, he's with Lindy Ruff.
The one that won all the cups. Oh my gosh. What can I think of this? Anyways, he's blended several different coaches over the years. And I don't think that his offense, I think his offense is tweaked, you know, to his, I think he's doing his own thing. I would not say, I mean, Joel Quenneville would be, I think, of too much of a distraction, too much of a big problem. And I think Barry Trotsky would need someone that could come in and immediately fix. Now, I you know Robbie was saying earlier about the Carl Taylor thing. I like Carl Taylor a lot, but I think it's pretty clear at this point his future in the NHL is going to be someone on some other team. It's not going to be with this team. He's been passed up too many times here. I would think that, you know, think about this. You know, the other thing is who could be available? Now we're getting way ahead of it, but you know, if Andrew Burnett is fired, who could be available? There's a couple names that could be available. I mean, like, I don't know about the future of Rick Tocchet in Vancouver right now. Same thing with Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh. I mean, like, that wouldn't be, I mean, those are quality coaches that have shown that they can win and would bring a different element to the team. You know, Gerard Gallant's another one. There are some other kind of maybe third tier, like Dave Haxtell, who, I mean, I don't think is that good of a coach, but I think it would be different. There's some other options out there, but yeah, the Quenneville option is just would not be a good one.
Alex, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and I will see you later. We'll talk to you later down the road.
That's right. You know, I just wanted to say, Joe, I'm planning my trip to the NHL Combine in June.
Yes.
I know you love combines and exercising and push-ups and vertical leaps. There's going to be some excellent content up at the Buffalo, the NHL Combine in Buffalo. I have an extra seat and an extra hotel room if you would like to come with me.
At least send me all the video. I'll try to make it, but I want all the video clips of all the drills at least. Thank you, sir.
Okay, all right. I'll send you hours of footage.
Alex Doherty, our guest here on the program. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. We will switch gears as well coming up next. Get into some NFL free agency, NFL combine, as Alex just mentioned, getting underway this week. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, the game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.